You're listening to the Digital Chatter Podcast, where incredible entrepreneurs share their story. Please welcome your host, Eric Sharp.
Hello, and welcome everyone to another episode of Digital Chatter. My name is Eric Sharp, and today my special guest is Sandy Lawrence. Sandy Lawrence, go ahead and say hi to everyone.
Hi, Eric. Hi, everyone. This is great. I'm so excited, Eric, about being here with you, seeing you again. And my thanks to Michelle Sissom that we both know, who is my coach, my business coach. And through her, I met Eric, and now here I am. That's what I love about this world in which we live today, where, you know, you can be on the air anytime, night or day, live and in person. And I love that. So I'm a publicist. I have a public relations company. I understand a lot of people don't really know what public relations means, but I help you tell your story, basically. And I work with authors, mainly authors, or speakers, coaches, business owners who want to have a book to share their heritage, share their story, leave a legacy. So that's my passion, Eric. We talked about that earlier. I just had an interview today with a lady that works with animals. And as soon as she started talking, I'm like, oh my God, you have a fantastic story. So I love hearing people's stories and helping them share them with the world.
No, Sandy, you've been a publicist for a while. You're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, and you've worked with a lot of people. And you've done this for at least about 15 years, right?
15 years, it was actually 15 years in June was my anniversary.
So, well, yeah. Congratulations then. This is perfect. And that's a testament to, you know, a small business owner. And for those of you who are watching this, you know, being in business for 15 years, as we know, as a small business is very difficult and it's tough. And I'd like to know, I mean, what's your background? How did you transition from, you know, where you were back then into where you are now?
And that's part of my story. So I love telling my story. So I worked for a technology company for almost 20 years. And then I was offered an early retirement in 2002, sitting at my desk one Monday morning, checking email. And there was this email from corporate and there was this offer. And I mean, I still get kind of chills now thinking of, you know, just a regular day and a regular email. And there was the one that changed my life completely. So I had a week to think about it and to make a decision and to let them know. So I had to have it faxed, if we remember what fax is. On Friday, it was Monday, I had on Friday to fax in my decision. And it was, you know, of course, the most difficult decision I'd ever made. And so all week long, it was like, will I do that? Will I not do that? Will I do that? Will I not do that? And somewhere in the midst of that week, my mother-in-law, who was an author, came to me and said, I know you're struggling with this decision, and I know it's going to be challenging. You'll be out looking for clients. Can I ask you, would you help me promote my books? I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to. So will you help me promote my books while you're looking for technology clients? Because I assumed I would have technology clients. I'm like, of course. So made my decision, I faxed it in, we got started. Her books, I had read her books before, mystery, cozy mysteries. That was before I knew there were different kinds of mysteries, but hers was a cozy mystery. And I set up a book signing for her at a tea room, because when I started reading her book from a marketing standpoint, I saw that every day Aunt Louise and her little compadres or entourage would sit and have a cup of tea. And when they had tea, they would discuss something going on where they were. She had one book about Ireland, one about Louisiana, one about Nantucket Island. And so each time some mystery was taking place there. So I'm like, oh, a tea room. It was actually, this is one of those things that's one of those, you know, meant to happen things, because my last day at work, because I worked another month after I gave my notice, my last day they took me to lunch at a tea room. And so as I walked in that tea room and I just finished reading her books, from that marketing mindset, which marketing is definitely a mindset. And I was reading her books, and I went in that tea room and I talked to the owner and said, what would you think about having a book signing here? And she was all agreed to it. So I told her I would take care of everything. And so we had a book signing there, and it was amazing. I mean, it was just launched my career working with authors, because we sold more books there than we ever sold, than she ever sold at Barnes & Noble or one of the other bookstores. Because one thing, you hold up her book in Barnes & Noble, even in the mystery section, and nobody, then this was just like an eye-opener for me. Nobody's going to walk in that bookstore and find that book. There's too many. But in a tea room, there were no other books. There were a couple of books on teas and things like that, but no, definitely no mysteries. So she sold this phenomenal amount of books. Plus, they paid for it through the register, so we didn't have to worry about taxes and stuff. It was just a perfect, perfect scenario. And so we decided, okay, that went so well. Let me see how many tea rooms there are in Texas. And, of course, there's hundreds and hundreds. And we went on a tea room campaign. We gave away tea bags to everyone that bought a book. We would have a tea where we actually served tea. And then she went on and actually wrote a cookbook called Tea Time Treats. I mean, this went on for a couple of years before she actually wrote then her memoir, and we did that. So, but that's what got me. I mean, I just fell in love with authors. They were so enjoyable, so much fun to work with. You know, I don't know. It's just the whole concept. I never looked again at marketing for computer companies.
Wow. Wow. So that's an incredible story. And what's interesting is you got your first client right off the bat. And I'm curious as to what your mindset was. And certainly you'll tell me here in a second, but you know, what was your mindset thinking like, well, this is a temporary thing. You know, I'm doing her a favor, but then all of a sudden obviously things clicked and started to move forward. I mean, what was your feeling going through all of that?
Well, honestly, I don't know that I had a feeling, a long-term feeling about it. It's just like a, you know, here's a day-to-day thing, which really taught me a lot about being a business owner, because it is a day-to-day, you know. And we make plans and we set all of our goals and we have our accomplishments, and then we live life day by day, depending on what happens. So she said to me, you know, I can't pay you what you probably would make as a publicist from a best-selling author. I can invest in you. And she did. She paid my way. I went to Publishers University. I went to Book Expo America every year at the Javits Center in New York City. Oh my gosh, I was just living the life of a dream life, actually. And so I met other authors through her, other mysteries, and then gradually I started moving towards the nonfiction. But I still do some fiction because I love reading. I just had a great time, and it was like, now from a business owner perspective, I didn't do quite as well as I did from the having fun part. Having fun, getting clients, that all worked, making money and being profitable, not quite so much. So you said later we may talk about what I would do differently, and I could tell you what I would do differently. No doubt I would have a business coach. So it's just, I don't know how I did survive the 10 plus years without having a coach.
Sure. Well, yeah. And obviously you know, even though this was your first client, which is phenomenal to have right off the bat. Yeah. I mean, we tend to sometimes fumble around in getting the second and third and fourth and fifth and hundredth client. And I think you did something very smart, which was you initially invested right away in learning more about the industry. You know, like you said, you went to like Book Publishing University.
I knew nothing about the publishing industry, nothing. Yeah. So I didn't know all the quote unquote rules they had for traditional publishing. And now I've gradually moved more into the self-publishing or independent publishing. Still do a lot of traditional, but I've learned to kind of balance it and what the marketing is like, depending on what the publisher will do and all that. So it's still a learning curve. The publishing world stays in a state of evolution.
Oh, absolutely. And I easily within the past 10 years, you know, publishing has changed tremendously thanks to companies like Amazon, you know, thanks to things like eBay, even just selling books, reselling books online, things like that. You know, tell me a little bit more about how technology has changed what you have done for business.
Okay. So as an example, one of my first big breaks as a publicist for authors, I sent out a fax, I sent out a press release and a fax. That's how we, you know, that was 2002, 2003. I sent a fax for a children's book author that had hired me. I sent it to all the television stations and all the things that I, you know, normally did. And the vice president of news for our local Fox station called me and said, can you come down and visit with me? And so I did. And what I didn't know was she had a children's book and she needed help with the marketing. So she said, I'll be glad to help you with your clients and have them on. I mean, it just opened this floodgate of opportunities for my clients. Even several times they would call me late at night or early in the morning and say, have you got an author that can come down and speak on this topic because it's really hot right now, breaking news, all that stuff. So, I mean, that went on as long as she had that position, and that was several years. She ended up moving on to a new position, and it kind of, I still have relationships that I made during that then. And I learned a valuable lesson from that. And that's the most important thing you can do in marketing PR is build relationships. And now, so things have definitely changed. So now we build those relationships online. So same people at Fox, but now I send out a tweet to them or I post something on their Facebook page and say, hey, here's what we got going on. Are you interested? Sometimes they're not and sometimes they are. I just keep on, but I reach them differently. And now, and I really stress this to my clients, it's very important that you know the person you're going to be pitching to. So I check their Facebook page. I check their Twitter. I check any other social media. Most of them have a blog. I go read their blog. What are their interests and what do they like? And how can I make that connection for my clients? And I learned that through initially doing it face-to-face and now doing it online.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the concepts have not changed, you know, decade through decade. It's always about the relationship. Obviously, the way we communicate now is completely different. I mean, we're doing a video right now, you know, that's going to be posted up on the internet and people can view it over and over and over. So
you're in Atlanta and I'm in Houston.
Yep, exactly. It's incredible what we can do now. And, you know, to think 10, 20 years ago, we couldn't do this, which is absolutely incredible. So tell me more how Amazon has changed some of your business.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that really has a little funny twist to it because my mother-in-law, the one that got me started on this, would not put her books on Amazon.
Oh, really?
I'm giving anybody 55% of my money. So my mother-in-law has passed away since. And so I'm working now on getting her books on Amazon. I tried to tell her, you know, 45% of something is more than 100% of nothing. And these people you're going to reach through Amazon are people you wouldn't reach otherwise. But she would not relent, period, would not. So how Amazon has changed my world and my what I do with clients is drastic. I mean, it makes it available, easily available for someone to publish a book without waiting on a traditional publisher. Not sure. I have some clients that want to wait. So there's a trade-off. If you're going to have a traditional publisher, it's going to take you a couple of years minimum to get an agent, sell your book, and go through that process. And then on the backside of that, when you do sell a book, you get royalties, which are usually 10% or less. Sometimes you get an advance and you have to pay that back, all that kind of stuff. So on the other hand, with Amazon, you can be online in 24 hours. You can sell the book. You can promote the book. You can offer the book free. You know, there's just Amazon makes marketing a book very easy. And now, even though Amazon bestseller, so that's the going thing right now, and everybody wants me to help them with that. And even though that's not quite the same as a New York Times bestseller, it's a lot easier to get. And so I have a lot of people that are, you know, and I have a whole book launch plan to help them get to number one on Amazon. And one of your clients, Valerie Hubbard, that I recently helped her launch her book, and we had her with Amazon put this big stamp across her book that said number one hot release. So, you know, those are the kind of things that we took screenshots. We can use that in our marketing forever. I mean, I think the more I understand about Amazon, the easier it is. Amazon really is a search engine more than it is a place to buy books. So I use Amazon, I use the wish list, I use all of those things that are that Amazon makes so available to someone who wants to market their books.
Sure. Now, what advice would you give someone who is going out to write their first book?
First of all, from a marketing standpoint, write the book with the end in sight. So know who your audience is. If you're writing a romance, your audience is pretty easy to identify, and you know, you're pretty much dead on, just keep going. I wouldn't represent some romantic mysteries. I do not represent romance. I love it, but it's not part of what I do. So if you're writing a nonfiction book, then you even more important that you know who your market is, because you want to tailor everything you write to that market. For an example, this is not a nonfiction, this is a fiction book, but I had someone who wrote a fiction book for children, and she talked about witchcraft. Now, you know, I'm in Texas, we're in the Bible Belt. Children don't read books about witchcraft. So she was not allowed to do any book signings in any of the bookstores, Barnes & Noble, any of them. This was about 10 years ago. And so I told her, you know, when you got to consider your market. And if your market is going to not buy books about witchcraft, then write them about something else, unless you want to sell them to a different market. So that's the biggest thing for me, is writing the book with knowing who your audience is and making sure that what you say, you know, doesn't turn off your audience. Because if it does, you know, I also had a client that had a book that was about this thick. And he wrote it with his audience being for teenage boys. And I'm like, okay, I have 4 sons. I can tell you they would never pick up a book that size, period. I mean, I'm fortunate if they pick up a little tiny thin book. So you have to really consider those things from the beginning. So that's the most important thing. Write it with the end in sight. And then as you write it and as you get it written, then the decision is, do you publish it yourself or through an independent, local, small publisher, or do you work on getting a nonfiction book to a publisher, a traditional publisher? And, you know, I still think in the whole scheme of things, a traditionally published book probably carries more weight with the media than a self-published book. There's still that little bit of, you know, sure, they couldn't get it published, so they did it themselves kind of thing. However, if you're a speaker or a coach or any business owner that you're going to be using a book as a marketing tool, then you don't need to wait on the publisher. You just go right to Amazon and get it published and have your print copies and your e-copies and just start marketing.
That's great advice. Thank you very much for that. I'm sure some of the people watching will benefit tremendously from that. I mean, I know myself, I'm little by little making my notes and getting ready to publish my own book here soon enough. And I'm going through the same process of, you know, figuring out which market I'm going to write towards and, you know, go from there. So great advice. So now let's switch gears a little bit. I want to know, you know, why do you do all this? Why do you wake up every day and help people publish books? You know, what's is this a part of your passion? What's in it for you?
It is definitely my passion. Now, I love the nonfiction books. I'm working with Michelle Sism, who is my business coach, on a couple of books that she's working on. You know, I love working with nonfiction authors, coaches, business coaches, all of that. My passion is to help them tell the story. And I worked with Michelle some on telling some of the story of her dad and the legacy that he left when he passed away about 3 years ago, I think. And I think we just went past that anniversary. So It's that story. It's listening to someone tell me, I'm going to write about this, whatever their field is. Valerie, the, you know, she's an actor. So obviously her book, Rule Breakers, was about actors and the role they play and how they do that. Behind that is the story of Valerie, you know, her story. She's got a great story. And I talked to her about it and hope that one day she'll tell her story, because I think everybody has a story, and to leave that legacy. Now, I told my coach the other day, you know, if I thought the rest of my career was going to be just writing more press releases, sending out press releases, calling the media, yeah. Okay, that's fun. I've enjoyed it. But it's been 30 years I've been doing this. And I'm like, I mean, 15 in my own company, but before that. And honestly, I could go without ever writing another press release and I'd be okay. But telling that story and then figuring out how to tell that story and when to tell the story, I just see it as bigger than that person. So this, you know, it's like I was, one of my clients a couple years ago wrote a book called When God Speaks. And we were marketing it, and she had two books, was working on the third one. And somehow I was listening to her tell the stories of the different people in the book. And I got, okay, one of these stories is hers. She's just not identifying that. And so I said, Dr. Leatherman, it's one of these stories apply to your life. And she just, I mean, surprised me. She just burst into tears. And she's like, oh my God, I didn't think I would ever be able to tell that story and let people know it was me I was talking about. This was a great story. She's African-American. It was during a time when, you know, a lot going on with African-Americans. And so her mom was a single mom. And so it's a great story. It really was. It was a great story. And I saw that. And so that is my passion. I got it from my mother-in-law, this whole why. I mean, I wanted her to, you know, tell her story. And so I just see these stories that people have, and I want to help them do that. I want to help them create a legacy or leave a legacy. That's my passion.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And that inspires me, and that makes me creative, and it makes it not boring. It makes it fun, because I'm always looking for the next story. Whose story can I tell now? And I love that.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Allowing these legacies to live on, you know, in word and spoken audio, you know, thanks to audio books and everything nowadays. Do you ever encourage some of your authors to do audiobooks, that their inflection of their voice can?
Yes, I do. And we have one we're working on right now. We haven't done it yet. We haven't completed it yet. But yes, I do encourage them to do audiobooks. I mean, as many formats of the book as you can get is what I recommend. I mean, some people like to read the hard copy. They will always like to have a book in their hand. Personally, I love Kindle, because when I travel, I don't want to have a bag of books to carry with me. They're heavy. So I carry my Kindle and I can read any one of the hundreds of books I have on there. So, and I love certain authors. And so, you know, once I find one author, then I keep buying their books on my Kindle and having them on my Kindle. So yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Oh yeah. I mean, I love Kindles. They're probably one of my favorite inventions, you know, along with things like the iPad and everything. It's just,
I don't own a Kindle. I mean, I do. I had one years ago, but now I just have the app on my phone or my iPad. I'm going to take that with me anyway.
You know, sitting around at a doctor's appointment or something, you're in a waiting room, you're on a bus, subway, whatever, passenger in a car on a road trip.
Yep. Always. Yeah.
So Sandy, what advice would you give yourself, 10 years ago, if you knew what you knew today, what would you have told yourself?
Well, first I would hire the coach. Remember that.
Hire the coach. I mean, why is that? Why hire a coach versus, you know, stumble along the way, I guess.
So I could write a book on how not to own a business or run a business. I've become an expert on that. And I've done the same thing several times. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, at some point I have to realize that if you keep doing the same thing and you keep getting the same results, something's kind of not right here. So several times over the past years, I have developed this, you know, I'm very good with people and I love networking. And so I get these clients, and because I don't like to say no, I get more clients than I really have time for. So I find myself working 24/7. And I do that for a while until client. And so I have no time to really work at my business, no time to work on me and my company. I'm taking care of my clients. And so, you know, after a year or so, when they start gradually moving on to do something else or go write a book and they don't have time to do the marketing, then here I am with less clients. And here goes the cycle again. So I've done that several times. And this just happened to me in the last couple of years. And so with a coach, you know, it's like, okay, why don't we try doing something different this time? Since we know what'll happen. And so I am working on online products, having more webinars. I've got a course going up on Teachable. And, you know, so I'm working on marketing my company for something that would be more like passive income, but also something that would be continuing. So, you know, Michelle wants me to do funnels and all this kind of fun stuff. So, yeah, so I've learned. So looking back, what I would do differently was I would, you know, because I made all these decisions by myself. Business owners are all alone. And I had my husband, he's very supportive, but there was times he thought, you know, you should go do more, you know, computer companies, they're going to pay you more than authors will. So those kind of things. So, but I never had a person that could look at my company, evaluate what my profitability was, where I needed to go, how to be more profitable, put funnels in place, all that. So looking back, I would do it differently in that case.
Sure. That's very smart advice. And I think, you know, I think at some point everyone needs to realize they need some mentor or someone who's done it before, not even necessarily in the same industry, but just someone who can take a positive look into your business and the services you're providing and help you set those goals and then keep you accountable. You know, make sure that you're hitting those marks every month, you know, day in, day out. You know, they're not necessarily sitting next to you physically all the time, but they're there though. And they're making sure.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that would be the biggest change I would make if I could start this 15 years over again.
That's good.
I think other than that, I've built relationships. I realized from the beginning, if I'm going to tell people how to market themselves, I have to do a good job at marketing me. And I never liked it when I would go to somebody's website and they were like, well, remember the cobbler's children? And I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to see the website that I'm going to have mine look like. And I want yours to look like that. So I always tried, you know, made sure that my marketing materials were all very professional, all of that. So I knew the importance of that. It was just the getting clients, that process that I kind of, you know, stumbled over pretty much.
Sure. Sure. That's perfect. So any, you know, as we come to the end here, any words, last words of advice for, you know, what do you want people to really get out of our conversation today?
Well, I want people to consider that we all have a story, and we're the only ones that can tell our story. And honestly, sometimes I'll go and hear someone speak and they have a story, and I'm like, you know, I'm very thankful I have my story, not that story. So everybody has their own story. And a couple of weeks ago, I was in New York City. My aunt passed away very unexpectedly, and I was there helping to clean out her apartment. And I watched it broke my heart really, as we threw away some things that I knew were very important to her, but they were not important to anyone else. They were cards people had written her, thank you cards, all kind of things, letters. And I'm like, you know what? I wish that I had thought to encourage her to tell her story. Because that was my mother-in-law's sister, so my husband's aunt. And she lived such a full life, and I mean, it was like nobody expected her to pass away that quickly. So anyway, so that's what I want. I want anyone listening to consider your story and your legacy. Who's going to remember your stories? Are the stories of your parents? Are the stories of your, you know, your whole family history, all of that, and consider how you're going to let people, how you're going to memorialize that, how you're going to leave that heritage for coming generations in your family. And then, you know, build the relationships with the people that would you need to help you tell that story in the most effective way possible. Sometimes it might be a movie deal. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true. You never know if your story is that interesting. That would be awesome, of course. I'm sure some people think they live that movie star lifestyle. Maybe not always. Sometimes it's glamorized, but yeah.
Yep. Well, I just heard a commercial on the way home about a movie that's coming out this weekend with one of the guys from Silicon Valley. And that made me think of it because it is the story of his wife and her illness. So, that's a great story. And he actually wrote it, and they're telling the story in a movie. So.
That's great. That's wonderful to hear. And I completely agree. I mean, having your legacy written down is important. You know, people in their 20s may not be thinking about their legacy, but it's, you know, little by little, it creeps up on you. And mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and sometimes if you're in your 20s or, you know, young millennials and you have a business, because we see a lot of very successful young people today. I love working with millennials. I have a 25-year-old who's my director of projects, and she keeps me on my toes, and she keeps me, you know, she thinks differently than I do, and I love that. I love that. So yeah, so if you're not ready to tell your, you know, your story seems a long way off that you need to tell the legacy, just think about your business, think about the story as happening now, and do something to record it. You know, keep a journal, write a blog. That would be the best thing, write a blog. A lot of people turn their blogs into books. So I think that's a great, great plan. Have a plan. That would be my
perfect advice. And this brings me into, you know, what, do you have something for all the listeners out there today? Do you have something to leave them
with? I do. So I try to always have something. So right now on my website, perceptivepublicrelations.com, from the homepage, there is a gift. I have a gift for anyone that signs up for it, and it's called PR Tips and Ideas. So I don't know if you're familiar, maybe, I don't know, Eric, if you're familiar with, that there are special days all month long. And so a lot of them give you an opportunity to market your company or your story or your business or your event, anything that's going on. So, of course, one of the most famous ones coming up is the 4th of July, coming up this weekend. So if your business has anything to do with freedom, with patriotism, with independence, with anything like that, then that's a good time to market your book. Or your company. And I know, so one of the things I do for Michelle every June, Michelle Sism, my business coach, lives in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And, you know, we're on the coast here where we get lots of hurricanes. So I saw a headline early in June that said, you know, Texas, Louisiana, be prepared for hurricane season this year. Looks like it's going to be, you know, now we know the media, they want to hype it up and everything, but, you know. So what we did was write a press release for her about, you know, how do you prepare for hurricanes in your business? So we know that, you know, if we're expecting a hurricane, we know about boarding up the windows, we know about stocking up, all that. But what do you do about your business? How do you not avoid, because you can't avoid them. How do you prepare for them? How are you ready for them? And so we sent that press release out in June. And that's one of the things I've found out that I'm really quite good at is, you know, matching the dots. It's connecting the dots. So I saw that headline and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Michelle. She helps us prepare for those hurricanes that are coming. And sometimes the season is, you know, harder than others. So yeah, so that's some of the things I do. And so that book is absolutely free right now. You can go get it by just putting your first name and email address, and you will see month by month days that you can use for your promotion. June was it's bridal month, you know, July's 4th of July. August has got another main focus, but every day during, I mean, there's like Love Your Pet Day, and there's all kind of, so whatever business you're in, whatever book you've written about, you will find a day to match it. And I plan a lot of my Amazon book launches around what went for Father's Day. We had two fathers who wrote books for their children, and we launched their books on Father's Day weekend. So it's just a great tool, and I put that together, and I update it every year, so it's absolutely free. It's right now for the month, for the year 2017, and we'll be coming out with a 2018 version before long.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sandy, for that, and thank you very much for being on Digital Chatter.
And if anyone wants to talk to you about their heritage, I would love to hear from them. Just if you have a story and you want to share it with me, or you want to find out, is this story good? Would that make a good, you know, book or whatever? Sandy@perceptivepublicrelations.com. Just send me an email and we'll set some time to have a conversation.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Sandy.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you for listening to Digital Chatter. Subscribe now to our podcast, and you'll never miss a great interview like this one.